Kia ora rā e te iwi, hakarongo mai nei ki tō tātou reo irirangi o te hiko a te ika i watikau mawhitu ira tahi te iarere. Ai ko te kai kōrero e whae ke nei ko Matthew Tukaki, ai ki te kōrero e pāna ki Wāna Mahi kei ōna ringa. I tēnei wā me tōna haerenga pia ki te pāpaka nui a Māui a rā ko Sydney, Australia. Nō reira me tauria ke tātou ki aia, tēnā koe e Matt.
Morena vai, how you doing?
Yeah, doing the great up here in the far north, up in the big town of Kaitaia. How about yourself?
Well, pretty good. Over here in Australia, I've been meeting with some of our whānau Māori groups, especially the Māori group wanting to build a marae out in Western Sydney, and also having a talk to some of our whānau. There's 170,000 of our whānau now living in Australia, Māori that is, about 24% of the overall population. And really, I've been witnessing a lot of hugs, a lot of cuddles, a lot of people who haven't been able to see their whānau on both sides of the Tasman now for the last 2 years. As the border reopens, so it's great. And back home to Aotearoa, of course, on Sunday, and straight into fight against David Seymour and the ACT Party.
But even yourself, it's been a while since you've been back over here in Aotearoa, and you've spent a lot of your time over in Australia. What was it like being able to return back over there and see all these familiar faces?
Oh, it's been fantastic. I mean, we're lucky. I mean, we have a house on this side of the Tasman as well. And it's been locked up for 2 years. And seriously, Joel, I thought I'd left the milk on the bench 2 years ago as we left with our backpacks to come home to New Zealand. We heeded the call of the Prime Minister, who said the borders were going to be shutting because of this thing called COVID-19, thinking that it was only going to be for a matter of weeks. And, of course, it's been 2 years. Thankfully, I didn't leave the milk on the bench. But finally, after 2 years, we got to walk into our house in Sydney and thinking there'd be mould on the walls and mushrooms on the roof and the milk on the bench and all the rest of it. But it was like a capsule in time. There was a Daily Telegraph on the bench on the 12th of March 2020. And the only thing I found, which was a worry, of course, is I went into the garage to check on the car that's been there for 2 years, and there was a snake. So it was a brown one, and so I picked that thing up by the tail, smacked it against the wall and threw it out the garage door, and it slithered away. And it wasn't until after that somebody said to me, "Oh, that was an eastern brown snake, Matt. You probably shouldn't have picked that one up, because, of course, an eastern brown, Joel, is one of the most poisonous snakes in Australia."
I was going to say, wow, you know, you must be quite experienced with these ones there, Matt. So on returning home, you've been dealing with all these snakes over here in Aotearoa and the government, and then you return home, hey, this one's nothing to deal with.
That's right. This one's just a one-trick pony. No, those snakes back in New Zealand, like David Seymour, my goodness, they're a whole other poisonous deal. But you know, it's been good because you know we've got whānau on this side of the Tasman. We obviously call Aotearoa home now, so I'll be back home on Sunday. You know, there's a lot of New Zealanders that are making the trip now. For my part, you know, we've lost friends who have died while we've been away. Whānau have passed away. Babies have been born. Lil Anderson, for example, who is the, as of today, it's her final day in the chair. She leaves for Brisbane today. The chief executive of Te Ala Whiti, the Ministry for Māori Crown Relations, she's heading to Brisbane because her mokopuna has been born over the last 2 years. And I can tell you that's what we're doing. We're reconnecting with our whānau, seeing our moko, seeing our tamariki, seeing our friends, you just cannot get away from the fact that a hug is better than a Zoom meeting.
Yeah, and as example, the other day, Tāwira Gardner, on his own request, asking that he does not have a tangi during these times, but that his whānau will host a day or a time where everybody can go and see them. This has actually been happening on both sides of the Tasman and throughout the country. But for now, I would also like to even get you to maybe expand. You've been speaking about this Seymour a number of times. Are you able to give us a little bit more of a kōrero around the minister there?
Yeah, look, David Seymour and the ACT Party are now bleeding votes in the wrong direction. They picked up a lot of votes when National was on that descent into stupidity under Judith Collins. And so their vote went up, but they were really taking votes from the National Party. In the last 24 to 48 hours, David Seymour has put out a statement saying that they're going to demand in any coalition government negotiations next year, if it gets to that, that there be a referendum on Māori governance. Basically saying that things have gone too far, Māori are out of control, Māori have got this, that, the next thing. It's exactly the same sort of narrative he's been running for the last 2 years. But more importantly, in the last few days, he sent an email to members of his party thanking people like Graham Hart and Rod Drury, some very well-known New Zealand entrepreneurs, for donating to the party. So I said to David Seymour this morning, well, you can stick your referendum where the sun don't shine, son. And by the way, don't be ashamed of having a bit of brown in you, because, you know, David Seymour has got some Māori whakapapa too. But my other clear message is also to those financial backers and donate, and those very well-known New Zealand captains of industry, so to speak, who have donated to the ACT Party. And my message is, so Rod Drury, for example, from Xero, the big accounting software house, I put out a call to all Māori hapū and iwi Māori organisations this morning that if you've got Xero software, consider not using it. Because why should our hard-earned money go to buy his products and services just so Rod Drury can use that money and donate to the ACT Party, and then the ACT Party runs a campaign against Māori in a very Hobson's Pledge sort of way. So, you know, my view is to hit the ACT Party where it hurts, and that's in the hip pocket, and embarrass these very rich, wealthy New Zealanders, including Stephen Jennings, including Grant Baker, including Graham Hart, and obviously Rod Drury. So it's just another descent into madness. But this is nothing more than grifting. And by what I mean grifting, I mean it's race-baiting, it's dog-whistle politics, it's scraping the bottom of the barrel for votes. And David Seymour is nothing more than a jumped-up little thug.
And you'll think by now that over the generations when we've seen this type of behaviour within politics, that we're trying to cut out the discrimination of this kind within our own country.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, in the last 18 months, it's been there for all to see. I mean, we saw these Freedom Coalition, these movements, these Wellington protests, the conspiracy theories, and the rise of these fringe right-wing parties. We've got to remember where and who created the operating environment for which these people became so emboldened they thought it was okay to do these things. And it comes down to the last 18 months, National and the ACT Party, people like Don Brash and Hobson's Pledge, people like David Seymour, people like Judith Collins, they like to throw all these grenades out there. They like to grift and scrape the bottom of that barrel. But as soon as they're called out for their behaviour, they run away and they say, oh, it's freedom of speech, it's democracy. No, no, no. Freedom of speech and democracy doesn't allow you to pour scorn and hate over the country's original inhabitants. And by that, I mean Māori. So Mr. Seymour and his party should learn that word respect, because we were here first and we'll be here a lot longer after they've all gone.
And just in saying that, you've also spoken about meeting with those back over in Australia who want to marae. What has been the response of the Australians over there in regards to those who are wanting to establish this, but also even the other Māori who live in Australia?
Yeah, look, I think they've got it wrong. I think they've called it the Māori Alliance. It's something that's been long held for Māori living over here. So Māori have populated Australia, or been coming into Australia and trading in Australia since 1783, for a very long time, so well before the Treaty of Waitangi was signed. So Māori inhabitant here is long-standing. But it's complex because, you know, if somebody came and built, if Aboriginal people came to our land and built something on our land without permission, or against the backdrop of how Māori were being treated in a very similar way that Māori would come here and build a marae on Aboriginal land, knowing full well that Aboriginal people in this country are treated terribly, then of course that's not going to go down well. But if there was a whare wānanga where Māori would come and hui and you know, and meet, not a problem at all. But there's a difference in tikanga between a whare wānanga and obviously a marae. But the other reason that's been given is it's a place to bring the tupapaku for tangihanga. Well, the truth is, in both New Zealand and Australia, tangihanga doesn't necessarily occur at a marae anyway. The vast majority of tangihanga happen at home, because that's the final wish of the individual concerned. And over COVID-19, we've seen tikanga around Tangihanga also change because of the pandemic. So I think I'm going to meet with them all on Saturday morning before I fly back across to Tasman, before I fly home, and just sit down with them and say, look, I get what you're trying to do, but you might want to consider doing it this way. But importantly, meeting with Aboriginal people. And in fact, that's what I'm doing today. I'll be meeting with Aboriginal leaders from across Sydney this afternoon, Apabana Aboriginal, in a yarning circle to talk about what is going on in Western Sydney. And that's what you're meant to do. That's what we are known for. But the aspiration for our people here, we've got to do something. There's 170,000 of our whānau here. That's 170,000 people that bookline our registers for our iwi hapu. They raise money. They do papahaka. There's a kōhanga here. There's a kura kaupapa Māori school developing here. There's all sorts of things. So, you know, we've got to find a way through here.
Absolutely. And these are just changing times. As you said, it's also changing within our tikanga due to the pandemic and the way that we're having to live, thinking about safety first and prioritising things that actually see a change and a change in generations as well. Thank you again for sharing some of this.
Can I just say one more thing? You know, you've hit the nail on the head. What I'm trying to say to people is, look, this is an opportunity for us to have a conversation about what our definition, our meaning of te ao Māori is. You know, te ao Māori for us in New Zealand is about the te ao Māori world of New Zealand. Well, actually, there's 170,000 of our people living in Australia, tens of thousands across Asia and North America, more in Europe. You know, te ao Māori is not fixed on a single geographic location anymore. So te ao Māori, for me, would be a conversation about where is it that our people live, work and play? And knowing where we live, work and play, how do we remain connected, not just within New Zealand, but actually globally now, particularly as Māori culture is beginning to really cross the world.
And this is the type of corridor that all our Māori leaders and our whānau need to start considering, and also having discussions with our whānau about what that really means these days. Thank you again for this corridor, Matthew, and hope you've really enjoyed your return back over to Australia, seeing all this whānau, and not just going back for a holiday, but as you've been talking about, having huis with the Aborigines, having huis with our Māori whānau over there, just mahi doesn't end, eh?
No, it never ends. Mahi never ends. Fish heads and prawns never ends.
I'm here to kia koe mō ngā kōrero, kia matāra, kia ora. Ai, ko Matthew Tukaki tērā. Ai, ko kōrero ke ia mō tōna hokinga atu ki Ahi Treiria. Me tōna mahi, ki te noho ngātahi me mō rātou a te iwi Māori i reira, hi ana te hakatū tētahi marae i reira. Kua kōrero ke ia, me matapaki, me noho āta wānanga hea rātou, me te haukainga i reira. Ai, kia kaua e haka tū tērā, me te kaua e kōrero kia rātou, mā kōrero e pātai atu, mēna e ahiana rātou, e wāteana rātou te haka tū tēnei, tō tātou ahurea ki wāhi ke. Nō reira, ai, hea ho koutou whakaro e pāna ki tēnei kaupapa. Ai, me tērā o ngā kaitōranga pū, Simo, me wāna tino hihia te whainga ki te, haka, ki te takahi i runga i te iwi Māori kia haukoti o mātauangi tū i tēnei wā. Nō reira, mautonu mai ki tō tātou reo irirangi o te hikoti ika iwa te kaumāwhitu iratahi te iareri.